Only the drones are left. The warriors have gone to work. Cook Island Maori Proverb. Day 1. Chapter 1. Anchorage. Supervisory Deputy U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's grandfather had warned him early on. If they're cornered, just about anybody on Earth would jam a pencil into your eye. That was Cutter's job, cornering people. On paper, Jerome Pringle was just number 3 on a list of wanted criminals the Alaska Fugitive Task Force had focused on for the week. Nothing special, not dangerous, but then Jerome Pringle had never been cornered. Cutter took his grandfather's teachings to heart and passed them on to the deputies he trained, the deputies he kicked doors with, like today. Whenever possible, Cutter liked to hunt his fugitives in the tiny sliver of time when dogs and dopers overlapped their sleeps. It was the safest, if not the most convenient time to hit a house for a fugitive. It lowered the odds that anyone on his team would get a pencil in the eye. It was still dark, but that rarely helped you tell time in Alaska. In this case, it was early, a little after 5 a.m. It was still cold enough for a coat, but getting warmer every day, warm enough that the gray mountains of snow, 15, 20 feet high, that had been piled up in virtually every Anchorage parking lot and neighborhood cul-de-sac, would weep rivulets of dirty water into the streets as soon as the sun came up in a couple of hours. With any luck, the task force would be done by then and making ops plans for the next fugitive. Fugitive work, often simply called enforcement, was the sexy side of the Marshal Service. Everybody had to hook and haul prisoners at some point in his or her career. Deputy U.S. Marshals, DUSMs, sat in court and listened to attorneys drone on for so long they probably could pass the bar. They took mugshots, rolled fingerprints, conducted strip searches, lift and turn please, met the airlift with van loads of bad guys, but nobody came aboard for all that. You got a job with the Marshals Service because you wanted to work enforcement. You wanted to hunt. A good chief deputy spread the wealth. Jill Phillips was one of the best. She made sure every POD, plain old deputy in the District of Alaska, even the ones who'd just graduated from Marshall's Basic at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, had a warrant or two of their own to work. PODs divided their time between court, judicial protection, asset forfeiture, hurricane aftermath, guarding dignitaries with state at the United Nations General Assembly, pretty much anything the Attorney General decided he or she wanted the Marshal Service to do. Deputies assigned to the Alaska Fugitive Task Force rarely had to dilute their schedule with collateral duties. They hunted every day and many nights. They cornered the name on the paper, took him or her to jail, and then moved on to the next warrant in the stack, all the while trying not to get shot or stabbed by some bad guy's baby mama. Cutter mulled over his grandfather's wisdom as he drove through the back streets of Midtown Anchorage in the gunmetal chill of the pre-dawn darkness. Gravel popped under the tires of his government-issue SUV. It was a Ford Escape, surely a joke from USMS Fleet Management in D.C. His partner, Deputy Lola Teariki, a Polynesian of Cook Island Maori descent, sat in the passenger seat. She was not a particularly large woman, but her personality sprawled across the inside of the vehicle and took up a lot of space. Still a ways from 30, she had 4 years on with the service. Thick ebony hair piled high on her head in a tight